Please turn your Bibles to Genesis chapter 16. Genesis chapter 16. Welcome to Side Piece Part 2. We was talking about side pieces this morning. Welcome to Side Piece Part 2. Genesis chapter 16. One of the things that we talked about is that every relationship has a hole in it. Every relationship has holes in it. And the reason why most relationships have holes in it, because you're not God, and the relationship and the person that you're connected to is not God either. If you're trying to make somebody your God, if you're trying to make somebody your all in all, when somebody says, hey, listen, even if somebody came to you and say, you're the moon, you're my moon, and you're my stars, hey, you still ain't Pluto and Saturn, and there's a whole bunch of other stuff that you may be somebody's moon, but you're not somebody's universe. And one of the most dangerous things that you can do is try to make somebody your all in all. If you heard me say a few weeks ago, when God created you with a hole, and that hole can only be filled by Him. You can try to be great at your job. I know some people who are very successful at their jobs. And when they walk into the building and when they walk into their career or whatever, everybody hails them to be somebody that is great. But when they go into a different environment, they're not that great. You can't be all things at all times to all people, because you're human. You're weak. There are times you get sleepy. There are times you get weak. There are times where you just don't have it. There are times where you can be attentive and you can always say the right thing and encourage. And then there are sometimes you say, listen, I don't have any advice for you today. There are some problems that are beyond your skill set. And so you want to be a good friend to this person, or you want to be a good support to that person, but I can't. So as we looked at Genesis chapter 16, one of the things that we realize is that Abraham and Sarah is in this relationship, but Sarah can't give her man what he's looking for and what he's desiring. And it's causing tension in the relationship. It caused so much tension that this woman, who has a faithful and devoted husband, she convinces her husband, why don't you go pursue another woman? Now, when she encouraged Abram to go pursue another woman, she never had it in her mind that she was not being the picture. So think about what she had to go through mentally. It must have been so heavy for her. It's a difficult thing to look at somebody's face and know you don't make them happy. To wake up every morning and look at somebody's face and you don't make them happy. It wasn't that Abraham was not happy, it's that she could not feel all his expectations. An expectation is, I'm looking for something. And whenever an expectation is not met, there comes disappointment. Sometimes you can look at the person that you're connected to. You can look at your children, look at your spouse, look at your friends, and there is a disappointment in their throat. There is a disappointment in their face, and you can't feel it. Because the only one that can fulfill Abram's expectation is God. See, if Sarah would have been in tune with herself, God, you knew I was old when you first came to me. So you were going to have to do this in the first place. But what happens when you get tired of waiting on God to fill the hole in a godly relationship? It is a holy, godly relationship. Abram and Sarah are both walking with God. But somewhere along the line, she lost faith. Because, remember what I said a few weeks, whatever you focus on grows. Whatever you focus on grows. And sometimes you can have some, I don't know if you remember in 1 Samuel chapter 1, does anybody remember Hannah? Hannah's man, Eklonah, came and said, hey, babe, I'm good. I'm better to you than 10 sons. I treat you good. And I got another wife. I treat you better than the other wife. times, in biblical times, amen. I treat you better than the other one. He said, I love you. I'm good to you. Hannah was so focused. I want you to notice the pattern in the scriptures. Hannah couldn't give her husband a son. She focused so much on what she could not provide her husband. The Bible says she went to worship crying. She cried so bitterly that Eli thought she was drunk. Rachel wanted to give Jacob a child so badly that the Bible says they start having relationship problems. And I don't know if you remember when he told her, does anybody remember what he told her? He said, I ain't God. This hole in our relationship that you want to fill, only God can fix this. And you got to be careful sometimes, because sometimes you will find yourself trying to become more for somebody when really they don't have a relationship with God like they need to be. I mean, I can cook and clean, but I can't cook clean and paint and flip and be what you want me to be, all that. And I'm sitting here trying to be everything that you want me to be because you don't have a relationship with God. So you end up becoming a clown. What does a clown do? A clown tries to make you laugh and keeps going until you smile, to the point where any personal pride or integrity is removed out of the window, because I'm willing to do anything to just put a smile on your face. I'm even willing to look stupid even though I'm having a great day. Your bad day may have even been caused by you. And so sometimes we don't see our self-worth. Our self-worth is not, my self-worth does not come from your amens. If nobody says amen, I'm still walking out of here and go get a country fried steak with some, thank you. It don't. My self-worth is not tied into your response to me. And sometimes we don't detect. Sometimes your unhappiness is connected because you have put worldly things in a God seat. So notice, you got two people who both have holes in them. And the hole that is supposed to be filled can only be filled by God. Instead of Sarah turning to God, she turns to Hagar. Now Hagar is in a loveless marriage. Hagar is in a marriage where there is no love, there is duty. And the only reason that Abraham connected with her is because of the missing piece in his marriage. Whatever you focus on becomes larger in your life. So sometimes you can have a person, Sarah could have been the best wife in the whole world. I don't know, in biblical times, probably was 60 wives at the time. I don't know. In the whole world, out of all 60, I don't know how many of them was it. But in the whole world, she could have been the best one. But she focused on the one thing she couldn't provide. And it was so heavy on her. It was so heavy on her that she convinced her husband to be with her. Hagar is in a relationship, and now she's getting mistreated. Look at what the scripture says. We're in Genesis chapter 16 and verse 5. And Sarah said unto Abram, my wrong be upon thee. She finally admits in verse 5, you know what? I think I made a mistake. Because I was trying to fill the gap in our relationship. And I found out that the way that I was trying to fill the gap has now hurt you. And so she repents to Abram. She says, I'm sorry. We should not have done this. I have given my maid into your bosom. She says this. She says, because of me. Now notice, this is a private conversation between Abram and Sarah. Sarah says, because of me and because of my lack of faith, I'm the reason why another woman is in your bosom. Now, Abraham didn't repent. If Sarah wouldn't have repented, he would have got up the next morning. Y'all all right? We good? everything straight, everything. He didn't feel it. The one who felt it was Sarah. She says, it's me. She must have stepped back because now Hagar has conceived. And I can imagine she's looking around and she's looking at Abram playing with the child and tending to Hagar, and she looking around. And notice what she says. Maybe Hagar can give us a child. But if anybody knows, when a child is first born, it's the mother that's going to spend all of the... She don't feel connected to the child. And she looks up to God and says, oh, wait a minute. This was not the plan. Have you ever looked at your life and you realize, I've been trying to cope with what's missing in my life, and what I chose to cope with is now killing me? It used to make me happy. That's like a husband getting stressed out by his girlfriend. Think about it. He coming home stressed. The thing that you went to pursue to fill your gap is now stressing you out and causing you pain. And it's now hurting you. She repents and she says, and when she saw that she had conceived, I was despised in her eyes, and the Lord judged between. Now she won't talk about God. You didn't talk, you really wasn't in tune with God when you pushed him to her. But now that you see of what you allow, you can get to a point in any relationship where you don't care what the other person does. Hey, listen, you can die, you can slip on a banana peel, you can go out here and do whatever, just leave me alone. You can get to that point, but that's not a godly place. Well, she got to the point where you can go lay with her and it really don't matter, I'm good. I know where you are, just come back and be with me. But that's not the spirit of God. So she repents and she says, God gonna judge between me and you. She says, Abram, I messed this whole thing up. Verse 6. But Abram said unto Sarah, behold, thy maid is in thine hand. Do to her as it pleased thee. And when Sarah dealt hardly with her, she fled from her face. And the angel of the Lord found her by a fountain of water in the what? Just to let you know how Abram looked at her. I never got with you because I loved you. There are some relationships that only get started because of the flesh. He said, I never got with you because I loved you. I only got with you because I needed something that I couldn't get from my marriage. So when the conversation came up, I can imagine Hagar said, you're not going to fight for me? We married, I gave you a child, we in this relationship, we were intimate together. Weren't we close to, I don't know if you were, just because you intimate with a person doesn't mean that person got your back. It just means you just gave them access. The way he talks about Hagar with Sarah, hey, you know, do whatever you want to do with her. It don't really bother me. This is how you talk about the mother of your only child. Sarah, whatever you want to do. She repents to Abram for how she came up with the idea. And she repents to God, said, we messed up. But then turns around and abuses her. Now you've done a double wrong. You abuse her to the point, this woman who didn't even ask for this now has to get her child and get her stuff, and she can only find comfort in the wilderness. If you just happen to run upon a Hagar, you say, hey, what are you doing out here? Is that out of wedlock? She would say, no, I'm married. Okay, well, where's your husband? He's with his wife. Why are you here? I was never loved. I was only picked to fill a gap. The Bible says, the only one who found her. God had to send an angel from heaven down into the wilderness. Wilderness do not have roads. They do not have highways. There are no cities in the wilderness. The wilderness, it has no streets. This woman has now wandered into the wilderness, and she has nothing. The angel of the Lord found her, by the way, and the Bible says, we'll look at verse 8, and he said, "Hagar, Sarah's maid, whence comest thou, and where will you go?" And she said, "I flee from the face of my mistress." And the angel of the Lord said to her, "Return to your mistress and submit yourself unto her hands." And the angel of the Lord said unto her, "I will multiply thy seed exceedingly, that it shall not be numbered before the multitude." Now, notice, the same promise that God gave Abraham, never before in history, God turns to a woman and gives her the promise that he's only given to a man. And the only reason he gives this promise to this Egyptian woman is because of how she was treated in a loveless marriage. I see how you treat it. So this is what he tells her. I know there's no love there. But what I want you to do is I want you to do what Sarah struggles to do with me. I told Sarah I would bless her, but she's struggling to listen. Now, if you would listen to me, I'm going to give you what I actually only promised Abraham. I'm going to multiply your seed. Remember how he told Abraham, "Look to the stars, and I'll give you as many as..." He tells her, "I will multiply thy seed exceedingly, that it shall be numbered for multitude. I'm going to make you great." Now, the only way for her to have a nation as great as what he's describing, he has to, in her moment of despair, walk into her future and give her another chance. What he's telling her in the wilderness is, you got to believe again that tomorrow will be better than today. Go back home and be obedient to me, and I'll go into your future and I'll make it better. It's hard to go back because you don't see the future. But in order for Hagar to go back, she got to walk by faith. The word I received in the wilderness is enough for me to submit under a disrespectful and an ungodly union. We were never supposed to be together. I'm sure if you talk to Sister Hagar said, "No, this whole relationship was an accident." I mean, Abraham was good. I know he's the father of faith. But in that season of his life, we should have never got together. We just didn't match. We grew apart. We just was never right for one another. I was supposed to just serve. I was never supposed to be with him. The Bible says in verse 11, "And the angel of the Lord said unto her, Behold, you are with child, and shall bear a son, and shall call his name Ishmael, because the Lord hath heard thy what?" Listen, I don't know what you was about to name your child, but don't name your child that. Whatever you was about to name your child, I need you to name your child Ishmael. Why do you need to call him Ishmael? You call him Ishmael because I've seen what you're going through. Do you know that God knows what you're praying for right now? God knows what's hurting you. God knows that you're hurting yourself. God knows that you've moved on, but you haven't healed. God knows that you're screaming for something to get fixed while it's broken. God knows that you're just going through the motions. God knows that the whole house is dysfunctional. God knows that all of this is not what he envisioned when he said family. When God put Adam and Eve together, this was not the vision when he came down in the cool of the day and he saw them hiding in the bushes. He said, wait a minute. This was not the idea of family with God was that there would be a man and a woman and that God would always be able to walk in the midst of it. The reason why Adam and Eve are hiding in the bush is because Eve entertained another voice outside of her marriage. And when she entertained another voice, she brought that spirit and that voice into her marriage. And it contaminated something that was so beautiful and so pure. But somebody says, but God, what about this gap? I'm so sick and tired of this gap. In Genesis chapter 12, you promised us a child, and now we still got this gap, and I need this gap filled. Because whatever you focus on, what? Grows. Do you know if I focus on your flaws, they get bigger? To the point where we used to laugh with one another. Now, you eating with your mouth open just irritates me to no end that I need to run and get away from. If you don't shut your mouth, you know what? The sight of you makes me sick. Somebody said, well, how can you say that when a person has so many wonderful qualities? It's because you stop focusing on their qualities and you just focus on that one thing. And so you know what you'll do? You'll end up being attracted to somebody who eats with their mouth closed. And you're like, oh, that's what I've been looking for all my life. Somebody who chews with their mouth closed. And what you don't realize is, even though Hagar had something that Sarah didn't have, God was never going to be in that relationship. You can find people that can fill your gap, but if God will never ordain it, the whole relationship is still a curse. There's some people you were never supposed to be friends with. You were never supposed to be friends with. You know what you're supposed to do? You're supposed to get your latte and say hello. You were never supposed to exchange numbers. There are some people that it was just supposed to be that one project. You decided to go a little further and do extra with them. You went too far because maybe they had something that you don't have. When you're materialistic, you're a dangerous person to get in a relationship with because love doesn't want anything from you. What do you do when two people walk in a room and they don't want anything from each other? That's the safest room to be in. Because when I want something from you, I'm looking for a way to get it. When a person wants your body, they'll say whatever and do whatever they need to do to get it. What position can I be in? What do you want me to be? Because I just want what you have. And once I get what I have, or once I get what you have, it's over. And then you don't want what your feelings hurt. Because you thought what you had was gold. When you found out it was just a Bitcoin or just a penny. It really wasn't worth all of that. You know the problem with social media today? The problem with social media today is they make material things and they make body parts more valuable than what they are. A car can't give you happiness. It can make you happy, you know, it can do nice things, but it can't give you happiness. A house, you can have the most beautiful home in the world. You can have all the dinner parties and bring them all. And then after a while, matter of fact, anybody who's visited your home a few times, they start not seeing certain things. When they first walked in, oh, wow. Look, okay, is this, wow. okay, we're going to go downstairs. And, oh, this is what? Oh, we're going to go up. Oh, and there's another level. This is crazy. You got two screens? The next time they come over your house, hey, how come that other screen ain't as clear as this one? You need to turn the refrigerator, ain't that cold. The juices seem like it's a little warm. And how come your refrigerator don't make coffee? How come your couch ain't got music in it? You start looking. Have you ever noticed that people get used to stuff? Do you know you're human? People get used to, I don't care how wonderful you think you are. When it's dangerous because people can take you for granted. That's why it's wonderful when you got two people who are satisfied by God, they don't need you to be more. Matter of fact, they just want you to be the best you. I don't need you to be all of this so I can feel better about myself. Because I'm good by myself with God. I mean, and so if you good by yourself with God, when we get in, what it said last week, then the only thing we're going to do is just give to one another. So I have three scriptures that I want to share with you, and then we'll close. First scripture I want to take you to is Philippians chapter 4, very quickly. Turn your Bibles to Philippians chapter 4. Take these three scriptures, and we'll be close. Philippians chapter 4. And let's look at verse 6. Philippians chapter 4. So I don't care what it is. I don't care if it's a church relationship. I don't care if it's a romantic relationship. I don't care if it's family, friendship. Every relationship has a hole in it. My father does not give me everything I need. But my mother, as wonderful as she is to me, doesn't give me everything that I need. I have an older brother that I love, but he don't give me everything that I need. Every relationship is going to have a hole and a gap in it. But I don't try to make my brother my father, and I don't try to make my father my mother. I just accept them for what they do provide and thank God for allowing them to provide them, because I don't deserve to have it, but I'm privileged and blessed to have it. All right? I don't make my father feel less for not being my mother. And I don't try to make my mother my father. I don't try to make one person my all in all. So when you're walking in love, and here's the thing, you can't fake love. If you don't have a relationship with God, I promise you, you're going to look for people to fill those holes. You could tell somebody who's not walking with God because they lack the patience and they lack the faith, and they need people in their lives. Whenever time you hear somebody say, you can't leave me, listen, not you, you gotta hold on, hey, you need that person a little bit too much. Because I was just going to the bathroom, I promise you I'm going to be back. I just needed to go, and I'm going to come back. Babies do that. Babies don't like you out of their sight. Because they don't, where you going? And they start screaming because they don't want to be alone. Not realizing you're just in the other room. It takes a minute for them to realize, wait a minute, you're still here. You might just be in the other room. All right? So when you're like that, when you need somebody, that's a toxic relationship, when you just need that person to be close to you and tied to you and connect. Oh, that's not healthy. So here's what the Bible says. If you're walking in God's love, be careful for what? Be careful for nothing. But in everything by what? Whatever you don't provide me, my happiness is not tied up in what you do for me. Because if you ever get paralyzed or if you ever get sick, that shouldn't be the end of our relationship. Somebody said, oh, you got sick? Well, I got to go somewhere else because you can't provide for me what I need. If you ever hear a man say, hey, I'm getting married because I need sex. I got to have sex. But what happens 2 days after the wedding? She gets sick. You're in trouble. Well, somebody says, well, listen, I got to have my friends. My friends are my... What happens if God take them away and you're at the funeral? Then what? When you put your love in the wrong place and your devotion and heart in the wrong, you're in trouble. You loving wrong. And if you loving wrong, you're not safe to be around. So the Bible says this, be careful for what? Nothing. But in everything you do, do it with what? Here's what it's saying. Any gap that a person is not fulfilling in my life, I have God. So if you ever leave me, or God ever takes you away, or if anything ever happens, my life does not fall apart, and my life does not rise and fall on your presence. I'm well. I'm well. Matter of fact, I was eating Cheerios before I met you. I'm going to be eating Cheerios after. I'm well. You're not my Alpha or our Omega. There's only one person who spoke like that, and that was what? Jesus Christ. Jesus says, I'm Alpha and I'm what? I'm the beginning and I'm the end. The seat is already filled by somebody. You can fulfill another role. So be careful for nothing, but do everything by what? Prayer and supplication. I don't have to use you to get it. I just talk to God, and if I have enough faith, he'll provide me what I need at the right time without me hurting myself and without me abusing you. So the Bible says, and let your requests be what? See, the problem is when you have a need, you don't talk to God about your need. You go outside and try to go fulfill it on the weekend. And the Bible says, if you have a need, make your what? I don't care what the request is. Lord, I'm struggling. Lord, I'm hurting. Lord, I want this. And I'll fulfill it in a godly, healthy way where in the next day, you're not walking around with regret. You don't have no sorrow. You don't have no shame because you have a legitimate need. Your body has a legitimate need. But when you pursue a legitimate need in an illegitimate way, you're always going to fall. Somebody said, my family need to eat. Yeah, but we're going to have to put you, we have to arrest you. Because you were pursuing a legitimate need, but you broke in the store and stole some money. You sought it in an illegitimate way. You sought to fulfill a legitimate need in an illegitimate way. So what you were pursuing, I got it. Hey, it's a need. But the way you went about to fulfill it, God said, why didn't you talk to me? In the middle of the night when you were struggling, why didn't you talk to me? Why didn't you, when your heart was hurting and when you was feeling lonely, when you was feeling abandoned, when you felt broken and lied to, why didn't you talk to me about that? Why did you call somebody else? Because that person can never fill that hole. That person can never fill that gap. So that's the first scripture. The Bible says, be careful for nothing. The second scripture I want to take you to is Psalms 34. In Psalm 34, and verse 17. The righteous, what? The righteous cry, and the Lord, what? Hears and delivers them out of some of their trouble. Do you really believe that? Because if you really believe that, you will call him every time you're in trouble. But you don't call him every time you're in trouble. You try to fix your problems on your own. And you know what's one of the scariest problems? When you got a pain inside that nobody know anything about. And when you try to fix that problem internally, and it ends up being exposed externally. Because you're trying to fix a pain. God says, if you will call out to me, to cry out to God, you got to have faith. Because the only reason I'm calling you is because I actually believe you can do something about it. You know when you stop praying about it? is when you've lost hope that God is going to fix it. See, you heard God speak to you in chapter 12, but I get it. You've been praying for the same thing for 2 years, and so now you in your chapter 14, or maybe you in your chapter 15, and you say, I don't think God's going to do it. Because I've been praying. I've been praying for 3 years. I've been praying for this for a long time. This matter of fact, this all, if you ever hear anybody say, it's always going to be like this, that's the person who's lost faith in God. They said, no, but Williams, you don't understand, because it's happened over here and it's happened over here. It's always going to be like this. I'm not talking about your circumstances. I'm talking about the God who will get in your circumstances. You lost faith that God heard you. And what you don't realize is when you pray to God, God will walk in your future like he did with Hagar. Go back to your dysfunctional situation, and I promise you, I'm going to work out a plan in your future. It's going to be so beautiful. But you got to trust me. Sometimes when you don't hear from God in a broken place, it's because he's putting your plan together. And one of the worst things to do is to not be faithful to God and go off on your own path, and then got to turn around and realize that God was actually in the midst of fixing your problem. And you sabotaged your own blessing. Sometimes we do that with enemies. I'm finna go get my enemy. You don't even realize that God was going to remove your enemy in the first place. And you went and put this whole plan together to get your enemy, and your enemy ended up slapping you. And you realize, well, I should have trusted in God. So if I take the first scripture, be careful for nothing, but make my request known to God and to trust God and make sure I cry out to God, because he will deliver me out of all of my what? Do you know you still here? Do you know you've made it out of all your troubles? Because you what? You still here. God ain't never failed us. It may have hurt you. You may have some scar. You may have lost some things, but you still what? You're still here. He'll deliver you out of all your troubles if you believe. Last scripture I want to take you to. Turn your Bibles to Psalm 66. In Psalm 66. We'll just look at this one verse. And the Bible says in Psalm 66, verse 18. Psalm 66 and verse 18. The Bible says, If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. If the Lord observes sin in your heart. So you know what the problem is? So many times we will end up hurting, but we have sin in our heart. And when we have sin in our heart, we're praying to God with sin in our heart, God help us. And what God is looking for from you is repentance. But because you are entertaining sin in your heart, God doesn't hear your prayer, and you stay stuck in your situation because you can't do wrong and pray to God for deliverance at the same time. As long as you do wrong and you're praying for deliverance, nothing about your situation will change. It stays the same. I can't curse you and fight you and then ask God to fight my battles against you at the same time. God has to punish me for the wrong that I've done to you. Do you know you delay people's? You delay God's response to people if you're walking in sin. Notice what the psalmist says. When he looks in my heart, if he sees anything that is ungodly, he stops listening to my prayers. I can't afford for God not to respond to any of my prayers. I need him to respond to my prayers. So what we end up doing, instead of waiting for the steak of love, that fine steak of love, we end up living our life on fish sticks. Did you know it is easier and it's quicker to eat fish sticks than it is for steak? Did you know that? In 15 minutes, I can get you some fish sticks. Right now, in 15 minutes. If I told you I'm going to get you the finest steak in 15 minutes, what would you say? I don't want to eat that. And is it cooked? What is it? You didn't do that. Because it takes what? It takes longer to prepare steak. So there was a gentleman one time, and I'm done. There was a gentleman one time, and he walked into Mother's Day. He walked into a rose shop. And when we walked into the flower shop, he spoke to the attendant. He only had $3. He was trying to give his mama something. He only had $3. And he went up to the attendant. He said, "Hey, listen, what can I get for $3? The attendant said, "Hey, listen, what you can get for $3, and he walked him. He said, "I can give you a dozen carnations for $3. Or I can give you one rose." He said, "What? First, you can give me a dozen carnations, or you can give me one rose." He said, "That don't make any sense. Why is it that the rose costs so much more than the carnations? For just $3, I can get 12 carnations. But for the same amount of money, you would only give me one rose. Why is it that the rose costs so much?" And the attendant said this. We'll close. He said, "The reason why you can get so many carnations is that even though you get more, the smell doesn't last long. It's strong for a moment, but it dies very, very quickly." He said, "But the difference with the rose is the rose scent lasts so much longer. And really, even after it dies, you can still crush it and create potpourri. It still gives off a beautiful scent." He said, "So if you want to know the difference between carnations and roses, is longevity. This dies quickly. This lasts so much longer. To pursue God's love versus the world's love is almost like pursuing carnations and roses. The world will give you a whole lot of fun this weekend. The world can give you a whole bunch of stuff. The world got a whole bunch of Hagars for you. But to trust in God and to walk in love, it lasts so much longer. The scent is so much sweeter. And it goes so much further." As you go throughout this week, this beautiful week, this Valentine's week, this righteous, holy, and clean, and pure week, I pray you walk in God's love. I pray you don't entertain anything that's not on a God love level. I pray you don't cheat. You cheapen yourself by receiving anything that's not on a God love level. Matter of fact, I know that you're walking on a God love level when you start rejecting stuff. Just send the whole gift back. Send the whole stuff back. I know what you want from me. Just send it all back. When you start raising your standard and say, you know what, I know what God calls for me to do. And I'm not going to try to fill holes that only God is supposed. I'll wait on God. I'll trust in God. Do you know you live a much happier life? A much more peaceful life when you walk in God's love and you trust in Him. If you're here on this evening, if there's anything that you desire to pray for, maybe you realize, you know what, I have not been walking in God's love. I have not been doing what God has called me to do. You know what, I've been so focused on my problems that I have inflated them. I have made the things that are missing in my life so grand that I can't even enjoy the things that I do have. I'm so angry that I don't have a car. I didn't realize that God gave me my health. I'm so angry that God didn't give me the house that I wanted that I didn't realize that I still got all my family members living. And you don't realize how blessed you are until you start missing some other stuff. You don't realize what God is actually doing from you. And sometimes what you consider a hole is a blessing. There are some things God don't give you because He's crazy. That's crazy. You don't want sometimes what you think you want at the time you want it. And you so focused on what you don't have, you don't realize that you're not even what you're supposed to be. That Sarah had something good, but Sarah was not what she needed to be to really bring her family into the place that God wanted because she lacked faith. She had to go through a season of repentance and repenting to her husband. I'm sorry, I just have not been what I needed to be. And I put this whole thing together and I have just caused all of this to be a mess. Do you know chapter 16 was never supposed to be in the Bible if she would have had faith? There are some chapters of our lives, we were never supposed to go through that chapter. But that was the season we didn't have faith. And you had to pray your way out that chapter. God, close this chapter, please, tonight, quickly. If you're here on this evening and you maybe desire a closer relationship with God, I'm asking for you to come. I ask you to recommit yourself to God, to live a life of purity, to live a life of holiness, and to walk in a God-level love. If you do not have a relationship with Jesus Christ, we're also asking for you to come. To believe in Him, to trust in Him, that He died for you so that He could set you free. Love will set you free. God is love, and God sent His Son to set you free. Love sets you free. When you really have God's love, you're free. Nobody can touch you, and you can walk in it. You can laugh in it, and nobody can take your joy. Nobody can mess with your spirit because you're on such on a God level that they would have to get spiritual just to even touch you because finances don't move us. Health don't even move us. Material possessions, what can you do to a saint walking in love? Because the source of all my blessings, I'm connected to. So it doesn't matter what you say or what you do or what you take away from me. I'm already in a good place. I'm well. I pray that you receive this in your spirit as we together stand and sing a verse of a song.
I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. The world behind me, the cross before me. The world behind me, the cross before me. The world behind me, the cross before me. No turning back, no turning back.
Amen. Are there any responses? If not, we thank each and every one of you for being so attentive on this scene. Everybody enjoyed the Institute. It was a good Institute. Amen. As I stated, if you're a little tired, it means that you have what? You have worshiped the Lord. You have extended yourself. And so I know our Sundays are long, but hopefully they are a blessing and beneficial to you. I'm so thankful to have our guest on this evening. Good to see old faces with us on this evening, and pray that they have been also blessed by our service and worship on this evening. Those are all. Well, I only have one announcement. Please keep in mind, February 23rd is our night of praise. February 23rd is our night of praise. We'll have people coming down from Alabama, Fort Worth, different places that will be coming and blessing us in song. We're going to try to do something different. So that's why we ask for your furniture and different things. And we're just going to have a wonderful kick-out time beginning at 4 o'clock on that Saturday. So please clear your schedules for that day. Please also check our social media pages for further information. At this particular time, with a smile on your face, I'm going to ask you to stand. We'll circle around and go to God in a closing prayer. We've come this far by faith.
Oh, Lord,
Lord, leaning on the Lord. And we're trusting in His
only word.
Jesus never failed. He's never failed me yet. And you hear us singing, oh, oh, oh,
I can turn around.
And we come this far
by faith.
Let us pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, thank you for allowing us all to make it here today safely, Lord, and not to be deterred by the weather or the world, Lord, and to just be with you and worship you and focus on you, Lord. Allow us to go into this week knowing our own self-worth, Lord, to fill our empty hearts with you, Lord, and to just focus on the love that you have for us, Lord. Thank you for just our manservant, Brother Williams, to help us see that, to not allow us to be us on the side, but to be the entree in our own love, Lord. Thank you for just being with us and allowing us to open our eyes to this new experience and to be able to just know how the greatest extent of your love goes, Lord. Allow us to always remember this and keep this. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.